Thank you, Joe, and welcome you all to my presentation. Before moving forward, I'd like to gratefully acknowledge all my co-authors for their contribution to this project. As you know, tall fescue is a major forest crop throughout the temperate regions of the world. And USA, there are about 14 million hectares of tall fescue cultivated. There are three distinct morphotypes, the continental, Mediterranean, and the rhizomatous. Of course, the continental is the summer active type. That means it grows throughout the growing season. The Mediterranean is a summer dormant type. That means those are mainly dormant during the summertime, particularly in the south central USA. And the rhizomatous type, as by name, it forms the rhizomes. As you can see here, so the rhizomatous types always form the rhizomes, and the continental and Mediterranean types are mainly bunch type grass. But among these, like continental tall fescue has the wider leaves and big leaves, and the rhizomatous and Mediterranean types has narrower and shorter leaves. Continental tall fescue is the most prevalent type throughout the continental USA. Persistence is the major problem in the south central USA. That means as these plants are growing continuously during the hot, dry summer, most of the plants are dried. So 40 to 60% of stand loss we observe in some of the susceptible lines within a year. Taxoma MaxQ2 is a new release from the Nobel Foundation, and this has a greater persistence after summer drought. I'll just tell you briefly about the Taxoma MaxQ tall fescue. It's a selection from the Nobel Foundation Pursuit Demonstration Farm, in brief, PDF, and it has the Nobel Endophybe AR584 from the Ag Research New Zealand. So this was mainly selected for persistence. Now it shows greater persistence than all other checks in our evaluations. So usually the plant, the seeds are planted during the fall, and by spring you can get the green forest. But as I told, in the south central USA, during the summertime, it doesn't grow much. But it starts regrowing in the autumn, and by next spring, you can get enough forest for grazing. So the friendly endophyte is the key point of this cultivar, so you don't have any problem with animal grazing. The Pennington Seed Company is going to market the seed for Taxoma MaxQ2 tall fescue. On the other hand, Mediterranean tall fescue is kind of new in USA, and it's getting popularity throughout the south central USA. As I told you, in the south central USA, summer is a big problem. There are hot and dry, and most of the continental fescue grows continuously and die within a couple of years. But the summer dormant tall fescue remain dormant during the summer. And if you look after a couple of years, you will see most of the continental fescue are died, and the summer dormant fescue still giving a good grains. So that is the advantage of Mediterranean tall fescue. And in the Nobel Foundation, we are trying to make crosses between the summer active and the summer dormant tall fescue. And we saw continuous segregation for all for senescence in the population. So that means there is a better scope for selection of the better summer dormant types from the continental and Mediterranean crosses. But there is a big problem of this crosses that it's hard to get any fertile F1s. Rhizomatous tall fescue are mainly produces the rhizomes, as I told you, and it has excellent summer drought and heat tolerance. It has better persistence, and it has the best potential as a turf grass, because like if you can plant in a though you can space planting, still it can cover the whole area within a couple years. That's the main advantage. Now, the question we try to address is how they are related genetically. And to address this problem, then we take the advantage of molecular markers. So here is the material we used for our study. The top one is the Torpedo, which is a Rhizomatous tall fescue, and this Fletcher Maxcue, Prosper, and Resolate are the summer dormant tall fescue. The Texoma Maxcue, which is named as PDF584 in the as experimentals, so you may find somewhere I mention PDF584 is the same thing, and Kentucky 31, these two continental tall fescue, and we also consider the probable progenitors of this one to identify how these are also related with their progenitor. As you know, tall fescue is a hexaploid. It has three different genomes, the P, G1, and G2 genome, of which the P genome is contributed by the metafescue, which is like we take Eugene and Rita as metafescue accession. And the other thing is the tetraploid fescue, which is contributed the G1 and G2 genome. Festuca merii we considered as a probable progenitor of the Mediterranean type, and that's why two PI from Festuca merii also included in this study. We grow all these plants in cones in the greenhouse and then extracted the DNA from five different plants. And then we pulled all five different plants to make an individual sample. So in total, we have 12 samples. And then we took the markers distributed throughout the tall fescue genome. So we published the tall fescue map. And mainly, we selected markers from 15 to 20 centimorgan from each linkage group. And then about more than 200 primers we selected for doing this analysis. Here I am just showing some of the marker amplification. As you can see in the bottom that from 145 primers, we obtained 1,219 fragments, and on an average 8.4 fragments from each primer. But here, for simplicity, I just give some example of simple marker profile. These three primers give just one fragment. This one, two, this one, three. But one thing important here to see that there are some primers which give some specific marker. So here, this one is specific to Festuca merii. This one is specific to Festuca pratensis. And this one is specific to only Mediterranean type. So this indicates that we can get some markers which are very specific. On the other hand, most of the markers are amplified across different species. So these are also very informative so that we can make a genetic relationship. So we do the analysis with these 1,219 molecular markers to identify the genetic relationship among these grasses. And we find there are three distinct clusters, of which the cluster one also have three distinct subclusters. What are these clusters and subclusters? You can see this is the Rhizomatous tetraploid fescue and the continental. This makes a subcluster. Another subcluster is mainly the Mediterranean tall fescue. The other two are mainly Festuca merii and metafescue. This indicates that the Mediterranean tall fescue is somehow different from the continental or the rhizomatous tall fescue. And the rhizomatous tall fescue has a pretty good relationship with the continental tall fescue. Recently, the whole chloroplast genome of tall fescue is published, and I apologize, this should be 136 kb. The total size of the tall fescue chloroplast genome is 136 kb. This comes from a very interesting project. There are more than 400 undergraduate students did this experiment, and from the Middle Tennessee State University, they published this recently. They also align the tall fescue chloroplast genome with all other grass species and find that there are some very highly conserved regions, but there are some very hypervariable regions also that gives the most polymorphism across different grass species. So we developed our own primers. We selected mainly the primers from the exon sequences, flanking the intron sequences, as we believe that this will give the most polymorphism, which is our target. We try to identify what are the polymorphic areas in the chloroplast genome. So we amplified 48 primers, of which 36 we get a clear product. And you see this one is a monomorphic, and mostly are monomorphic, but there are some primers also give a polymorphic fragments. But we analyze all these fragments and sequence everything with the 3730 genetic analyzer. Then we did the sequence analysis to identify the genetic relationship among these grasses based on the chloroplast genome. Here I am giving some examples. So like here, this is one primer, and you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 variations within this primer region. And similarly, next one is 3 mainly substitutions. But this also have substitution and also some deletion. But one interesting here, one primer 45, gives about 43 base pair addition only in the Mediterranean and the Festucamaria germplasm. Similarly, some of the primers give only single variation, and some are very specific to only Mediterranean tall fescue. All other has the same sequence except the Mediterranean tall fescue. This also indicates that Mediterranean tall fescue has a different ancestry from the continental tall fescue. Something interesting here also, not only this one, but there are most of the changes you can see that only the Festucamaria and the Mediterranean tall fescue is somehow different from the other accessions. We also made a dendrogram based on the nucleotide substitutions, and we found 3 different clusters here also, cluster 1, 2, and 3, and both cluster 2 and 3 also have 2 subclusters. So how they are related? See, this is also the tetraploid fescue. This is rhizomatous continental. Whatever we see in the nuclear genome also. But one interesting thing here that some are dormant as the SSR and STS marker also have a distinct grouping, but it closely associated also the Festucamaria. And Metafescue, of course, has a distinct cluster. So this indicates that the very similar relationship among the fescue grasses based on both nuclear and chloroplast genome. So in conclusion, the continental and rhizomatous tall fescue are closely related with tetraploid fescue. This is because, like as I mentioned in earlier, that the tetraploid fescue contribute 2 genome, G1 and G2. That's why probably it was more closely related to tall fescue than the other progenitor, which is Pestuka pratensis, which contributed only one genome. The Mediterranean Tophosque has a distinct genetic makeup different from the other two morphotypes. And Pestuka merii is the closest relative of Mediterranean Tophosque. Both nuclear and chloroplast genomes support this relationship, and chloroplast genome showed a wide variability within the morphotypes, among the morphotypes, and also among the different species. With this, I am very grateful to the members of my group, and we are also working closely with our grassbreeding and endophyte group. So as you know, for Tophosque, endophyte is a big thing. So we are all working together with the collaborators within foundation and outside foundation. And I'm very grateful to these people for their contribution on this project. With this, thank you.
We have time for one quick question.
So should the Mediterranean Tophosque be considered a different species?
That's a good question. The question is whether Mediterranean Tophosque is a different species. So from my understanding, I am thinking it may not be a different species, but it deserves to be a subspecies within the Pestuka species, Pestuka orontinensis, Tophosque group. So, but we need to do some morphological analysis for that one, and we are currently doing that one. And with this one, I think we can make Mediterranean as a subspecies within the Pestuka species. Yes, please.
What consequence does this now have on the crossability? You mentioned that you had the problems crossing the Mediterranean types and
that's the one thing we are expecting. That's the one of the reasons that we included the Pestuka merii. It may have a different genome than the continental Tophosque. As we know, the continental Tophosque have two mainly genome, the P1, G1, and G2. But the Mediterranean Tophosque may have the Pestuka merii in the background, so which is not compatible with the P or G genome. So that makes the crossing difficulty.
Okay, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.